I'd like to call the Community Center Committee meeting dated 10 September to order. Could you please call roll for me, Carol?
Chair Graves?
I am here.
Vice Chair Steele?
Here.
Member Alexander?
Here.
Member Emmett? Member Farrow?
Here.
Member Farrow. First, I'd like to take just a minute to welcome the newest member to our board. Chris, welcome aboard. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For stepping up and the transition being relatively smooth and quick. We didn't have to look too far, so we look forward to doing some exciting things and for some new fresh input. So thank you for stepping up.
Absolutely. Thanks
this
for thinking of me.
This is the time where we would have public comments. This is the time for the public to come forward and talk about anything that's not currently on the agenda. And we like to keep it to a 3-minute. And please address the chair when you make your comments. Is there anybody that wants to make any comments from the public? Please
well,
come to the podium.
They want to talk about programming, I think, and that's on the agenda.
Oh.
So Jenny, I think it's
okay.
Later.
Well, I'd like to just add one thing. Can we get a sign put up with ASAP?
Yes.
To let people know we have a community center and maybe use the temporary flashing sign to announce that, like, we're having the water revolt this Tuesday, Thursday.
Thank you for that. And it was on the agenda for last month, and I believe that it's been ordered.
That's
correct. So, but good point. We actually thought of that one ourselves. But I don't have a problem with using some of our technology we have in town to announce new things when they start up to attract attention. I think that's a great idea. Okay, great. Any other public comment? Okay, can I get a motion to approve the previous minutes?
I'll make move.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any conversation or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. D1. I'm going to defer to staff unless I'm supposed to be doing something with that.
No, I just said Farron. That's pretty much the Farron show this evening, at least 1 through 3. So, other than what you've already are aware of, I will let Farron go ahead and describe what's happening with the swimming pool and the water aerobics class. And I know that there are at least 2 people in the audience. I'm not sure if all 3 of you are taking it, but at least 2 of you are taking it. So, Farron.
Our water aerobics class just started last Thursday. Thursday was the first day. We had 5 online registrants and 5 that showed up day of, although one who registered online was a no-show so far. Today we had some drop-ins as well, so we had 8 in the pool. So there's been a lot of interest for that. So we did offer a drop-in fee, although it is difficult to manage all of that to register people on a drop-in basis. So for future programming, I'd like to, you know, eventually get away from that. But because it's new, we are offering it. Our pool recreational swim has dropped significantly since the last time we reported it. We're averaging since the middle of August about 17 users on weekdays and 35 users per day on the weekends. there was a large party that occurred. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me before I jump off of that. Since the end of August, so September, our actual pool users during the week has, besides Monday through Thursday, has not exceeded 8 on any Monday through Thursday since September started. I am looking for maybe some direction or discussion on whether we should be keeping the pool open after the September 30th date that we kind of gave as a estimated closing date, or if we wanted to move to weekends only. Looking for some input from the committee on that.
At this time, or what?
As part of the discussion on the update.
Yeah. Is this the time for that discussion, Rick? Okay.
What was the
input?
What I just brought up, just so you can see up on the screen, is the when you go to the district's website and you click on the community center link on the homepage, it brings you to another page, and then there's an option for the types of classes that we offer. And since right now we only have 1 class, this pops up. And this is in Easy Facility, which you recall we rolled out when we moved into the facility. We acquired the ownership back in February. And so what this allows people to do is be able to go online, use the, use
use it, a completely online, web-based, interactive program that can pay their fees. If there were more classes, they could sign up for more classes. And Farron's been working on integrating the Google Maps.
Can I show that?
To that? Sure.
I'm sorry, I know I'm not by the microphone there, so I'll try to be loudly heard. But I did, Carol spent some time showing me how to add things to our website, and then I spent some more time at home trying to figure out how to make it a little more interactive than we have it now. Now, this is very rough, and I'm still working on it, but I did want to show you a couple things that we have in here. So under current programs, you click here. Now, it's only got one link, which is the water aerobics, but this, I haven't put any of our description in this page, but this is where we would actually list our programs. You'd click on the water aerobics and it would take you to that registration page that you just saw. So if you click there, it goes to the registration page. You can register online. Within our parks, just because we're here, we actually started a page which includes the community center. Sorry, let's go here on the left. And we put a Google map in, which is just for our Discovery Bay parks. You'll see this on most other city websites. You click on one of the icons for our parks. It gives you a description on what's there, what amenities. We've not added photos yet, but we're working on it. Our community center is listed on this page as well. If you click into more, it'll tell you who to contact for reservations. So we're working on this. Also, we've added a calendar, which I haven't been able to integrate to update automatically, so I'm trying to work on that, but it would show our programming, and then also we'd do a separate one for reservation. So we'd have a programming calendar and a reservation calendar, so you can see what was going on. So we're working on that. It's not ready, but it's going. So
does that integrate with that software we're using?
This one is right here, but it's not updating. I have to this is from that software.
Yeah.
We pulled it into Google, and then it comes here, but there's something that's not talking.
But we manage it through the software?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And as Director Steele's aware, you know, you and I spoke about this the other day, about right now we've been using the community calendar, which is not a very good function of the community calendar. For example, we have different community-wide events that are on there. Right now, we also are listing the different reservations that are on there, and that's probably not the best place for them. So that's why we want to go ahead and migrate off those.
We also have two tennis tournaments starting this month. They go one of them through the end of November, one through March of next year. It's a league, I'm sorry, that will be playing multiple tournaments at our tennis facilities there. We've been working on getting reservations and the packet together for them.
That's our home.
No. It's they're USTA leagues. They're the Discovery Bay leagues. We did join USTA this week as a Parks and Rec facility. I haven't been able to spend much time talking to them about but there are a lot of resources on their website, grants that are available if you're a member, stuff to help you with repairs and if you wanted to do youth programming, etc. So that just occurred. I don't have a lot more information than that.
Okay, let's go back a minute. Yeah, talk about flowers. Anybody want to talk about it?
I was just wondering, what's the practice in like Antioch or Brentwood? Or
I know Brentwood at the end of August, I believe it's August, closes during the weekdays, and it might even be July. I did look at it today, and I don't want to say
so either
way.
Schedule.
But I can't. Yeah, they just go to weekends only.
Maybe we just kind of do a through Labor Day, you know, full schedule, and then start going to a limited schedule after Labor Day.
Unless it's dependent on school starting in the next.
Well, school always starts in August, and into July 1st of August. I would suggest that we close beginning with the second weekend in September, that we close during the week, and that gets us through Labor Day.
Yeah. It's still hot. People need relief if they have the option. You know, we're still, it's our first season, so.
What are your thoughts on keeping it weekends only into October?
To the end of September?
That's what I mean, yeah.
And then closing completely at that point?
Halloween?
I guess until we get the weather. I mean, our splash pad is typically.
Okay, just for protocol, just so you know, I'm not ignoring you. The board usually discusses it, and then we'll go ahead and I'll call for, and we'll get input from you. I just don't want you to think you.
know.
Okay.
Farron, just to give me a little bit of historical context, so you said that Monday through Thursday, 8 is the most we've had, compared to what in the summer, just to give me an idea.
You know, I believe it was around, you're right, 30. I didn't bring last month's numbers with me.
Yeah, just
I
to give you an
from,
idea.
August. In August, like towards the middle of August, we were around, you know, Monday through Tuesday, I've got 20, 44 days with close to 30. You know, Friday, Saturday, Sundays. Oh, thank you.
The school started.
I've always been a lot
my
more.
Kids were much like the last week in July.
July, right.
So all of a sudden.
Comments from the audience? Input from the audience? Come on up and speak to the mic because we're recording this, and you can identify yourself if you'd like to.
Hi, I'm Claudia Hall, and if the weather holds hot, or at least warm, you get the first 2 weeks of October's is a break.
It's breaking.
And I know there's a lot of people who are in town and kids are.
Oh, that's right away school break.
So, thank you for that. We need to keep that into consideration. We may want to, in our first year, try opening back up for 2 weeks so we get people, you know, during just the vacation time. And then, and you know, we can still close. Because it costs us money every week to have a lifeguard there all the time. So if we want to close down, then like on the 4th of September or whatever, the day after, the Tuesday after the Monday of Labor Day, close down during the week to open back up coinciding with the October time off. And then I believe that they have another 2 weeks off in March or April, which might be the time we want to kick off opening it back up.
It's
too
cold in March, and it is the break is March.
It may be too cold, but at least, I would suggest that it would be handled based on what the weather is. Obviously, you know,
I mean,
I would personally, the way things have been around here lately with the fires there, I'd love to see that the pool closed down in October because we have so much rain that there's no use having it open.
Yeah.
But that's just because we need rain. But nonetheless, that might be something the staff can keep take into consideration. Anybody else has any other ideas?
Sorry.
If you guys wouldn't sit in the back row, you wouldn't have to walk so far.
I know. Okay, I'm Jimmy Cerulli, and I'm one of the water aerobics people. I love it. But I would hope that there'd be some way that we could work out that people could continue to do the drop-ins in the future. I mean, if you need a volunteer to help you handle drop-ins, I'd be happy to offer my services. Do that because I'm a big supporter of Anthony Robinson. He has great sales courses, and he says always make it easy for people to say yes. So if you let them come as a drop-in to try it, you're making it easy for them to say yes and start participating. Thank you.
Lastly, on the pool, the lifeguard comment came up, and that is also a consideration because we are losing one of our lifeguards to go back to school before the end of this month. So we were going to ask the one lifeguard we have to cover the final week, but if we are going to continue to stay open for 2 weeks, weekdays in October, we'll have to bring another one in and train them fairly quickly.
It looks like the school break ends like October 13th.
So let me ask you this, Farron. Do we have one lifeguard that could work those 2 weeks, or we don't have a lifeguard that could work those 2 weeks?
I'm not sure that a lifeguard would want to work every day of the week.
Oh, is that really the situation?
Yeah, or that we can make them.
We haven't, we're not continuously procuring any lifeguards?
Only because there was a significant amount of training required for our aquatic staff. And when we went through that program, we had a group that went through. We haven't hired anymore because we've had enough to cover the shifts. We're not going to have enough to cover the shifts, and we will have to train one if we're going to stay open through October. So we'll have to do another training.
We can't find another lifeguard.
No, we have applications for lifeguards. I just need to know what our schedule is going to be so I can determine when.
Well, here's the issue. The issue is based. It's a weather-based decision. So we're not going to really know at this point whether or not we'll be open in October. But I've had golf tournaments September 23rd, 24th, before where it's 100 degrees out here, so it can easily be.
It's a roaster.
It can easily be warm. We're hoping for 85 on Monday. So.
No, that's true. Historically, our splash pad stays open through October.
Yeah, I'd like to see that we make a recommendation. We can talk about it, but I think we should stay up until October 13th, and that's a Sunday. kids, and I think that's reasonable. And I think when you talk about how to work on our lifeguard procurement process for continually into the future,
I think it's a worth going back on to what Jenny was it? Is it Jenny said? Not that I'm a big Anthony Robbins follower, but you know, I've seen his white smile on TV before. I think it's important for us to maintain this opportunity, because as this group, as we have all tried to focus on from the very beginning, it's a matter of getting the community to engage in the thing. And even if it costs us 2 weeks of paying lifeguard, what we consider to be maybe not exactly worth it, I think it's still worth it. I think it's worth it just to have it available so people get used to it being there. And next year, when they say, hey, let's go, well, but the pool will be open. You know, it can change, all those little things will help to engage the community. And I think we always need to be conscious about engaging the community in the community center to make it successful.
Well, one of the nice things is I don't know how many of the committee members have handed out the courtesy cards, the free passes. We've probably gotten about 15 of them back.
Oh, good.
So we made 100 of them, that's 15%.
I'm waiting until the pool closes and then I'm gonna hand mine out.
So to put this into budgetary context, how much are these eight or so people paying to use the pool versus how much is it costing per week for us to maintain the pool and pay lifeguards and instructors? And I'm not saying...
weekdays, you mean?
Yes.
We're not even close to covering our costs. There was a weekly number, and I believe just for staffing the pool, it's somewhere...
it's about $25 an hour. So if you do the math, it's 2 to 7, it's 5 hours, it's $125. And if you're bringing in $24 a day, you're losing $100. It's not a lot of money.
Right.
And I think what Chair Graves is alluding to is that the benefit of it being available will pay dividends down the road.
Sure, sure.
And
understood.
And I think that the ability for, I think administratively, I'm comfortable with your consensus without having to go back to the board. We've been to the board on
that.
That
was going to be my next question.
We did put it in there that pending weather permitting, and that there are certain things that the board did approve that if the participation isn't there for a day, they can close early. Mm-hmm. If weather permitting, they can close. We had to close, unfortunately, on Labor Day because of the threat of thunderstorms. And I know I had one board member who wasn't very happy with that decision, but the fact of the matter remains is that there was lightning projected in the area, and so we took probably a more cautious approach than maybe we might have taken if this were 2 or 3 years from now. So that said, I think we're okay moving forward with that, keeping it open through October on the weekends.
So in the report that you bring forward for the next board meeting, staff, please note that the committee, in being cost-conscious, has recommended that we modify the schedule again to close down certain days, and as opposed to saying, Chair Graves said, screw the money on us.
But that doesn't prevent classes from occurring.
No,
right?
The classes will continue to occur because we've decided that we don't need a lifeguard for that.
Oh, good.
It's an adult-only class, and our insurance company, although it wasn't...
Thrilled.
Well, no, not our insurance company wasn't thrilled, but it's not recommended to have any type of aquatics class without a lifeguard. However, our insurance company did state that if they were adults only, they signed a waiver, they understood there wasn't a lifeguard, that we could do it. There are still 2 staff members there. We have somebody signing people in who's in the office, and then we have an instructor in the water. So there's still 2 people on deck. It's just not a lifeguard.
I'm hoping that we have it set up like we did the programs that we had previously at the center, and that means that the lifeguard, the instructor gets paid what they bring in, or are we...
Not on this class. This class is our instructor is a part-time seasonal employee to get the class going. Mindy Esau, and
okay.
She was also instructor with
okay.
us.
That's fine.
I do wanted a point of clarification. So we're looking at closing on the 16th, Monday through Thursday, weekdays through until the break, and then the full week for the break of school in October.
Are you talking about next year?
Well, no. I'm trying to clarify the schedule right now. Are we?
What's today? I would say we should close on the 16th and reopen on October 5th, 4th?
For weekdays.
Weekdays.
Yeah, it's the first day of spring, of fall break, the 6th, 7th, 8th?
Like over 2 weeks. They go
or is it the first?
It's the
first.
30th through this. Then they come back on, they get out on September 30th?
Correct.
Okay, so then that's when we would start reopen. Is it? I mean, that's going to be a 2 weeks cost savings in lifeguard thing. So, and you know, I have to say that if we don't have lifeguards trained, let's not make that a deal breaker from the standpoint that if we have a lifeguard that says, okay, I'll work 5 days, but obviously I'm not working 14 days straight,
yeah,
then we just do close Monday, Tuesday, and open Thursday through Sunday, or Wednesday through Sunday during those 2 weeks, and you know,
long weekend schedule.
You know, because if we can't get another lifeguard, let's try to encourage that in at least 40 hours. I don't know how many hours a day you have the thing open. Is it 8 hours a day?
Mm-hmm.
Just 8 hours a day, mm-hmm, though. So we could do Wednesday through Sunday, and just post it. Community center pools close Monday and Tuesday due to staffing complications.
Farrah and I are meeting, I believe, the week after next. So the week of the 25th with Dr. Rick Pierce, and you know, he's been very helpful to us, and he certified our lifeguards and that sort of thing, to discuss some of these issues, as well as some of the programs that he wants to bring in, the swim programs and swim team, that sort of thing. So we can talk to him about lifeguards, because he certainly has a resource, and now that the swim programs, I think, have ended.
Can you guys email me on that? I wouldn't mind being in that meeting.
Okay.
If possible.
Okay, anything else from you on community center operations update?
No.
Okay, item two, functional improvements to the community center building.
You have a memo and a budget here in front of you. I'm sorry, Rick, I just stole that. Okay. Just to kind of go over what's sitting here, then there's an outline or an overview of the facility itself in the back here, for your reference. But the budget and the memo kind of outlines what our costs would be to do improvements or purchases or relocations to make the existing building, to be able to utilize it for recreational programming now and through the point of when a decision and building closure would happen for future renovations, if and when that occurs. Some of these costs would be borne also by water and wastewater. We're pulling both, we're recommending pulling both departments' administrative staffs over there so that we could help cover some of the operational costs in the building, cover the costs of the move and of the actual improvements to what was actually based on the usage for those departments. Right now the building is not in any condition to offer classes, rentals, meetings, or other programs. I have some pictures here and I'll go through them quickly, but this is all just basically designed on the bare minimum to keep this going, or to provide the community with additional program, or to start a program, even if it's minimal, to keep people coming to the community center, not just for aquatics, not just for tennis, but for additional programming. The budget covers some exterior improvements. We're looking at just painting the front side of the building, everything you're looking at here and in the next picture, the shrub beds that you see in both of these pictures in front of the building, as well as there's an island that you see straight from the street I'd like to improve. So those costs are involved with repairing the valves. This is minimal. This is just in front of the building. I'm not talking about the whole site. This is just to keep the exterior going, to improve your curbside appeal. The sign is going to go in. So I think just all of those improvements would add a great deal of value for people driving by, looking at the facility, making it more welcoming. Do you want to scroll through that a little bit?
building?
Just to the next picture, yeah. Yeah, this, you're looking at, these may not be in order, but these are some of the interior pictures. I've on here have kind of requested and said that we're going to need some direction on how to dispose of the materials and items that were left over from the health club. Some of the equipment was left by the gentleman who purchased our equipment as a group because it was intended to be donated to a high school. The high school did not want the equipment, so now it's sitting there. We need direction on how to dispose of that. Do we want a garage sale? Do we want to list them for sale? Do we want to do an auction? Do we just want to get rid of them any way we can? There's this big heavy equipment. I'm sorry, we're back to the front. I know they're not in order. And so those are some considerations we have. To make this space usable, we need to clear it out. We need to know what to do with it. The aerobics room, I think, which is a couple pictures over. No, it's weight room.
Are these current pictures?
Yeah, this is today. This is the aerobics room. It's our only fully enclosed room at the community center. It has, I believe, the most potential for programming out of any of the space in there because it is fully enclosed. We have people who are interested in doing art classes, Zumba classes, renting space for birthday parties, and none of the other part of the facility is private. So this is important to, I believe this is an important space to that building. The current condition of the flooring in there is not great. There's crack spacing. You have, I actually think that I have the crack photos on my phone, I'm sorry, but there, the whole back of that room, and we just walked through it just on a short tour, right there along the window line is a huge crack. Mm-hmm. The floor, it's very old. It was not professionally put in. It was done, I believe, by somebody's husband. And we have had people look at this who said, this is not something I'd recommend you using.
So you have to wear shoes in there.
You do, but I mean, what I would like to do, can you go back one photo real quick? I'm sorry. No, forward. I guess it's forward. Right there. That tiled floor, the linoleum tiled floor, looks like it extends underneath the entire floor that we have here, this raised floor. The raised floor is not drilled in. It's set on little springs and boards that go across. So this floor could easily be removed. I can only see underneath about three feet from either doorway, and it looks to me, I'm assuming that the floor continues through the room, so with minimal work, we can pull out this flooring, we can clean up that room, we can clean up the flooring and get it matching the rest of it, and then we can utilize that space for some private functions or classes and use that. That's also in here.
I mean, like a normal floor, not one of you.
No, it wouldn't be an aerobics floor. Aerobics floor would be in the $15,000 range for the size of a room for some of the options.
But you can bring a yoga mat here and do exercise.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. There's a lot of classes that we can still have in there with this, even though it's not aerobic. Now, not all classes obviously would work for that, but that opens up our possibilities.
We have grass too. You know, Jalad goes out on the grass in Hawaii, I mean. Jalad's bodies or whatever, the workout instructor on TV, he's outside pumping on the grass. So.
And then if you go backwards, because it skipped, I think we're looking at the weight room right here. So this was the old weight room where most of the free weights were. When we talk about moving our office staff, there are two existing offices, one to the left of the arrow where Rick, right to the left is a wall of an office right there that we would convert, or a room that we'd convert to an office. And then right where his arrow is and extending about halfway out, we're talking about framing in two walls there. So the back two walls would provide part of the office, and then framing an additional part for our water and wastewater manager there. There's electrical already there. The phone lines and data lines would come straight through from the other office. So there's not a whole lot of costs associated with that. And again, like we said, we could, anything that we did for the water and wastewater to bring our departments and pull them together could help to be paid with that budget. But then we close off that room and we could use that as an additional space.
So you're saying where are they now?
Both of us are together right now in a facility on Discovery Bay Boulevard. We're not in this office. And so right now we're paying for our separate building, our utilities there. Yeah, so that's what we're saying. We're already paying for utilities somewhere else. And then, so if we combine it, then we can split that cost, you know, proportionately with the community center budget instead of paying for two buildings. Because we already have data lines there, we have to run internet there, we have phone lines there, everything's existing. We would have to move our Megapath VoIP system, which there's some costs associated with that as well, but then it would be on site. If at some point we decided that we wanted to tear this building down, renovate us, we have previously gotten some proposals and costs for temporary buildings, so where we would just pull straight out into those same phone lines, everything else we would just tie into the parking lot as a temporary basis while construction was going on.
What would be the benefit of the community center to have these offices established there?
Two points. One is that we would have staff there Monday through Friday during normal operating hours. That allows us to have to not have to hire anybody to come in, to not have to rely on volunteers. Although we want to use volunteers and get to that point, we have staff there. People can start walking in. We can start programming during any of those hours. Also, it helps bear some of the costs associated with the operational cost of that facility.
And would you pay like $2,000 a month to the community center for renting from the, is that what you're thinking, Rick, or what?
No, what they would just offset some of the proportional expenses of it. So for example, if Virgil's operation of his space takes up 10%, let's say, of the building, he would be proportionally responsible for 10% of those utilities, maybe a little bit of the maintenance, right, that sort of thing. The possibility of renting space, you could certainly do that. You could certainly have water, wastewater rent the space from the Parks and Landscape Zone 8, who owns it theoretically. But that wasn't what we were contemplating at this point in time. Certainly down the road, that can be in a different facility. This was at the last committee meeting. Recall that the committee asked to come back with some ideas and some costs to kind of just bring the building up to a minimum level to get it open and to be able to put some programming in there. And so this was the process that we went through. Yeah.
The largest ticket item on here is interior furniture. We would have to have some chairs, tables, seating areas available to utilize the space in the ways that, or storage, even. We did just put a lump sum in there. The idea is that we would, bring furniture purchases back for approval, and those items could also be reused, with the thought that whatever we're buying, we want to use in the future, no matter what the building is. And so this would be a cost that we would see, whether it was now or 6 months down the road. It would just come early so that we can start utilizing it for programming and use there.
Will these improvements trigger ADA and all these upgrades? It's a low price, right?
I mean, no.
Right. Why not?
I believe the threshold was about $124,000.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to do the bathroom and all that stuff?
No, plus you're also not changing the building. You're putting two walls up and creating an office.
I'd like to see an office space there for volunteer and for the community center coordinator or the community center volunteer, whoever. So
a good portion of these costs, a small portion of these costs would not fall in that category anyway. Extra landscaping the building is just maintenance and upkeep of landscaping that's been neglected from the prior owner. So that wouldn't have any effect on any sort of improvement costs from that standpoint. And that's something that needs to be done anyway. I'm looking and going, wow, cool. We can go out and rent and get a wedding in here next week for $28,000, and I just don't.
Well, I was wondering.
And I'm really surprised. I think that's great. I'm surprised at the numbers.
You have to understand that these numbers are our own labor force doing it. We are not contracting it out. Now building a wall and building framing out that office, we would bring somebody in to do that.
What about the roof?
The roof doesn't leak.
We did the minor roof repairs that we needed.
Oh, yeah.
So the roof itself, the roof inspection we had was indicated that the roof was in, while it's in fairly poor shape, it was a 50-year roof.
I mean, does this weatherproof the property?
No.
Oh, well, I can't occupy it.
And what about the windows, broken windows?
That doesn't work.
Sorry, I thought it was the wrong one. The broken windows on the top of the building? Is that what you're talking
about? I don't know. I just heard there's broken windows.
They're not addressed. The big ones in the top are not addressed here. They're boarded off right now. If you would like to address them before we approve a budget like this, we could add them. This is just to get functionality to the building and the other spaces that we're currently not using. I wanted to show you real quick. Let me put that was perfect. I wanted to address Chris's point just a few minutes ago about where you wanted to see office space. I mean, we could technically frame two offices here right next to this other one.
Yeah.
We have a lip, we have this complete area, so you would just build a wall down the center.
Love
We've
that.
Got two lights. We've already got power here, so this is just exterior framing. It's very...
What about that place where Sue was, the little office?
But we have three staff members already, and so if we want a spot for a fourth, a recreational coordinator, we also have an employee room here currently, and then we have a spot for volunteers, greeters, stuff like this at the front counter as well.
What's the red line?
Those were just they're at the dimensions.
Okay.
So in case anybody wondered how big a room was.
Okay. Any open for discussion, board or committee?
Do you think it's good to have a space for a volunteer person to work out of? Or?
So you have to cut me a little slack. I come from nonprofit right
now,
so we get by with very little, and we're happy to have it. So I would say a volunteer coordinator, if we got to the place to have one, would be very used to sharing space and going wherever they can go, because that's what volunteers do. So is that a dream? Sure. But in this current configuration, I don't know that we can afford to lose space to that type of position. That's my opinion.
Part of
I guess so, you're right.
That room right there, Darren and I were talking about it, we want to create a welcoming environment for people. And so, I know Diane...
As long as they enter from the front.
Well, up in the fireplace, let's get the fireplace working.
And I know Diane has discussed this about having, reading rooms and reading areas for kids and a separate reading program for the little ones. You could do that in here. You could have some comfortable chairs, and the kids can get down on the floor, and there could be, make it interesting for them.
That room was designed as a fireplace sitting room.
Well, the fireplace is there just
it's
to
right
cover
there.
It up. I don't believe that
Where's
it's
the
functional.
It's right there.
Behind the mirror.
It was the clubhouse for the original developer.
Claudia Hull's here in the audience, and she's also been a real big supporter of doing children's reading time there, after the kindergartners got out, but before, the older kids did, for parents who would kind of had to sit around for an hour, where do you go, And so I don't know if you have any comments on that, but that was the idea, is that we could use some of that space or put in a space, and I know Diane's been real big about trying to get some books and something.
Well,
for that.
To get the books.
Even having a book club that we promote.
Yeah, I said I'd do that.
That would be nice. Yeah.
So one of the things that's not on here, and from a very quick walkthrough that I would be concerned about, is the security of that building. So updating all the locks, the doors, the whatever we need to do to secure that.
There's actually a separate budget that we still have going for the community center, so I didn't include anything that we're already having to plan into something else.
Have
this
we already approved
additional
lighting and all the upgrades?
The security cameras have not been approved, but there's still some additional information.
Remember
coming
how dropping lights on every corner of the building?
Yeah, we did have a contractor come out on both items, our lighting and cameras, and that is being worked on, and I believe that's going to come to the board soon.
Any comments from the audience? From the public?
Okay.
Marianne's writing them down and handing them over to somebody.
When the Contra County Library had their book giveaway in August, we were kind of pulling aside some children's books and young adult books. We was kind of like a Halloween theme, thinking either we would have it as reading here or to set up a take a book, leave a book program in the community center or outside the community center. So there are like 2 truckloads of books already that could be provided to the community as a startup.
You need some shelves.
That's great. There's a need.
Any other comment from the public? Not about this, okay?
Anything in particular?
Well, about basically the
improvements
to the building is what we're on right now.
I think the longer you put off at least having one room made available, you're going to just start losing people. They'll go, oh, well, yeah, but we moved on. So I think as soon as you can get at least one room and start creating some interest. As far as the landscaping in the front, I remember we had a principal back a ways who, you know, the grounds were all ready, and they just made it a big one day. All the kids and their families came, and they worked really, really hard. Plus, you have a scout troops, you know, that would come make this a community planting and putting stuff in. I mean, you know, as long as
get an Eagle Scout project or something.
She has an Eagle Scout scent.
Maybe that for the church would work out okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, that you were mentioning all these things, and I'm just, like, flipping away here. The scouts, a lot of times, would love to have a place where they could have their meetings, whether it was at school or whatever, but I know that they've always wished they could have a place where a locker or something where they could just keep their flags and keep some of the stuff that they need for each of their meetings and not have to cart it because somebody always forgets or, you know, it's not there, you know, where they need it. So if they had, you know, it'd be part of their place too. Maybe something where they could leave those things there in a secure place.
Well, actually, that could be any club that was always meeting there. They place to keep
it. Oh, we've got a lot of storerooms over there.
We do?
Not being, are they used for something, but there's, yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
Yes. Sorry. When she said about volunteers. Okay. When there was a mention of volunteers, kind of triggered in my mind, one thing is I'm not familiar with how structured you have to be and how you're tied up because you're a government entity as opposed to a nonprofit. But I know I've seen like churches where they would have volunteers that would get together and actually put together a church, which is the Lutheran Church in Brentwood was put together that way with volunteers. And we have a whole community of contractors and roofers and people who do floors. And I've been told that Prudential also has their employees have like a volunteer day. Maybe they could put in the flowers in the front. But is there any way we could draw on volunteerism and use professional expertise within the community to see what we could pull forward and cut the cost?
Another person is part of volunteers, Virgil. That Pioneers thing he's in, they do major projects from the phone company.
Okay, so what we got here is a couple of extremes. A couple weeks ago, I think you guys brought us a $500,000 budget, renovations to the building. And this, right, no. Not building
it. No.
Redoing the whole building.
Complete renovation.
Right. And now we're at 28,000.
You're really at 18,000.
Yeah, I'm really not sure that either one of those is the right answer.
Well, you asked us to come back to you with a suggestion with some costs and what it would take to get the building in its current marginal condition. A little bit less than marginal, a little bit better than marginal, I should say. A little bit more curb appeal. What do we need to do to get it open so we can offer programming? And these are those things that we believe
if you wanted to do that, you could get you could have it open for programming.
I guess the only other question I would ask is why would the town consider paying rent for space in a new building, but not consider paying rent in an old building? If you're using the facility, what does it matter whether it's an old building or a new building?
It depends on who owns the building. If the Parks Landscape entity, if you will, owned the building, and we were to move in, and water and sewer were to move in, then you would pay rent back to them.
Who owns the building?
Well, in this case, the Parks and Landscape entity does, but you could also do it as a cost sharing agreement too. You could rent the space to them. It would not be a problem. I just think it would be easier with this building just to go ahead and put the walls up and pay the proportionate cost of operations. For example, but
the cost of operations is going to vary depending on how much activity is in it. So how do you figure a percentage?
Well, I'm referring to the utilities and the
utilities are going to change depending on how much activity there is in it. I think it would be okay. So, appreciate the hard work. Appreciate what we got here. I'm not going to try to cut this off or anything. Does anybody else have any more comments? Because I have a suggestion, and that is that eventually the decision on how that building is going to be used and how much renovation is going to be used is going to be discussed ad nauseum when we do our joint committee meeting with those that actually have the power to spend the money. So I think for me, what I've gotten out of this is that Yahoo, we can put some value in the building for very little money and start to entice the community to use the building. Although I think I'd like to have them like it from all four sides and not just the front, but nonetheless, at a minimal cost, that would be the best thing. And I completely agree with what was the phrase you used? I really liked it. They're making it more curb appeal, making people say, "Hey, maybe this isn't the same old building." So there's appearance differences with regards to the sign, flower beds, dead spots around the lawn that are those planters that are brown, and paint the front. I get that. Maybe not a bad idea at all. But I think that we need to have where this is going to have a further discussion is when we have our joint committee and board meeting. And personally, I feel that the committee's contribution to that is we need to get something going right away. The suggestion of if you don't want to delay, we've already delayed. I agree with you. I mean, there's already people saying you bought a white elephant, boom, boom, boom. So good point, well taken. I think that's, again, the focus of this committee, because we only have the power to do with what the board gives us to work with, but it's important for us to continue to push forward for immediate usage in of the facility. Yes.
Which means we'd have to do after this, right?
Minimally.
But we can't
approve this.
The idea of this proposal was not, again, right here, not to replace discussions on planning for future uses or whatever the renovations are going to be. This is to get us moving up and going now. Even if we have this co-meeting in October where we discuss this at length and you pick an option, let's just say that, the clouds part and everything works the way it's supposed to and we all come to an agreement on what we want to do with the building. The problem is that we still have to go to design. We still have to go through plan check. Before anything happens with this building, minimally, we're 6 months out from there.
If you're going to redo the whole thing,
we can
do further renovations than this without affecting that. We can do some more work like this without having to go for permits.
But this would get us started now.
Because these aren't really office walls, these are just partitions.
But I mean, this would get us started, even if we were going to do a renovation, a greater renovation. This would get us up and running. This would get people in the building. Mm-hmm. This would get some programs going. This would show forward effort.
Progress.
Momentum.
I get that. The only concern I would have is that we need to have a cohesive plan through the next 5 years. And that's going to take a bigger meeting, because otherwise we're going to get something started and have to displace it because we've made another different decision. And there's been not by necessarily any fault of the board and or the committee, but we've made a lot of different decisions since we bought this property based on circumstances that we really didn't have any control over. So we need to really have a cohesive plan, and it may be putting 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 into it so we can start bingo games. I don't know, you know? Yeah, Chris.
It's a community center, and I think it's well taken that we need a punch list of the different. I don't care about the prices really right now. I care about the issues that need to be addressed to open it up in 2 weeks versus open it up in a month versus open in 6 months. And I think that I can bring all the contractors in if we put the word out there, and I can bring the donations in, or we can as a community center group. I bring people in to get this thing done, and the staff and the town can step aside. But there's people out there that want to go and fix this today, or fix the siding or paint or put a new roof on it. But we're not asking them. We're trying to solve this, and I don't think there's a clear punch list other than the inspection report. And I saw there were some itemized things here, but these are some of these things are pretty easy. We just need to put out our wish list of the things that need to get fixed on this thing. And, you know, as far as physical part of the thing, and then put the word out in the community. You're right. There's probably 30 contractors sitting in town that are either CEOs or you know, journeymen or whatever they are, union guys that are probably generous with their time and materials if we put the word out. And so I don't know why we need to go. I get this from the operations side too. I get the idea that, well, you can help share with the utilities and you can provide somebody that can unlock the door and lock the door, and I get that. I think that's an important piece too. I don't know if that couldn't be solved with a volunteer, but I'm not sure on the opening of doors or whatever. But I think that from electricity and a cost standpoint, yeah, that's great. Then the water bill can be shared and those kind of things. But I think we need a clear punch list on addressing the building's issues. And, you know, I was talking with weatherproofing. I think somebody could get a volunteer in there and strip that floor, that rivet floor out there on a weekend and have it all the way for, at no cost to the town. But we haven't asked anybody to help us. So, you know, I don't know how we need to get work.
Since it's a government entity, you have liability issues.
Great. Well, they bring in fully insured. Bring in, why don't we bring in Barry, a construction company, or whoever is the top dog working on the bypass or working on streets of Brentwood. You know, those guys are sitting out there working in our community, and we haven't asked them to help.
Any other comments?
Thanks. Okay. I have 2 cents. It might only be worth one since I'm new.
You're good.
I totally agree that there's urgency to this. I haven't even gone through everything that you guys have been through, and I want it open tomorrow too. I also believe in community built projects. It's what my life work is, and I've been involved in many such projects, but I think that we need to give them something to buy into. And so my suggestion is $18,000 to get this stuff done is totally reasonable in my mind. This is quite a few things checking off the punch list. And I think that if we do these things, we can quickly get people in there, and then we can go back to the community and ask for their help for our next phase. Because we know this isn't the whole thing. This is to get people in the door, get programs going on, start generating some revenue, get people excited about the project, so then they will help us on the next round. I think it's too early to ask them to help when we have nothing to offer. That's my opinion. I think this money would be well invested to start filling programs into that place.
I agree with her. To get started that way.
Then we have something to show people when they come and say, I'm willing to help on the next phase. Here's where we're at, and here's where we want to go.
Does this have to go to the board?
I do have a suggestion. It may not be worth 2 cents. I don't know. I have an email here from Catherine, and she's unable to meet that week because it's the week the kids are off of school. So we need to select a different week than the week of October the 7th. What if we came back to this committee on the 24th or 25th, 2 weeks from tonight? With a... with a summary of the options that we have brought to you previously.
previously, just a review of everything. That might be helpful for Chris, as well as just to get everybody's arms back around where we've been, some of the discussions we've had, some of the concepts we talked about. We've had the architect in, and we looked at some of his plans and some of his concepts and some of the ideas of renovating the building, tearing it down. This concept here, just the different options that we've talked about, and maybe come back and at least get the committee thinking again and along those lines, and maybe not necessarily have budget numbers or that sort of thing, but at least get the concepts back so that when we do go and have that joint meeting with the board at that point in time, you're more refreshed with what it is that we've been talking about, and maybe you might want to come up with that might be a synthesis for a whole different concept and idea that nobody's thought about yet. So, and maybe just keep it to that one subject matter for that one evening. But it's certainly up to the committee's pleasure.
It seems like it's pretty easy to unlock the doors today. I don't get it. So I get that we need to add some offices and stuff, but I don't see anything physically holding us back besides having debris in there that needs to be disposed of.
I think the demo can be done. I think we can remove the floor and we can figure out what to do with the equipment. That can all be done without any board approval.
Put that in the corner.
Is that true or not true? Yeah,
well,
I'm not trying to circumvent the board. Don't get me wrong.
We don't really have the. We have budget monies. It's just not in this bucket, and so we would just need to move some things around. That's all.
Wasn't there money left over from the original monies that was approved by the board to the end of? Or no, we went past that, huh? Okay, so I would suggest October 1st for a meeting. Are you going to be around?
That's a tough one.
Why?
She might be here.
I'm out that whole week.
Oh.
Sorry.
Would that be the meeting with Catherine, or would that be a meeting with this committee?
It won't be a meeting with anybody.
Oh, that's what she's going to be gone.
No, I understand that. I'm saying, were you suggesting that to be a meeting with this committee or the joint meeting?
This committee. Because I have a series of stand downs throughout the state that start that week of the 23rd, and then I've got them again on the 15th, 10th and the 15th.
Well, we can always meet on the 9th.
So hold on. Is that when we were originally scheduled?
That was when we were going to have the joint committee meeting.
Let's put this outrageous vision out there right now. If we have this meeting, but you know, this community center needs to have the doors open by the lighted parade. I mean,
can't
come
do
on.
It on the ninth. I never could
Gosh,
do it on the
guys,
ninth.
This is ridiculous.
Would it be in, I'm on state business on the 8th, 9th, and 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 15th, 16th, 17th. Oh man, 16th.
Kevin, did you say you're not available the 24th or 25th or 26th
of September?
Yes.
No, I am available.
26.
24th.
No.
25th.
Oh. Diane's not available on the 25th.
24th?
Chamber mixer, I don't know.
Where's that going to be?
I don't know.
I just got an email about it.
It's
for
the 23rd.
26th. Huh?
What are you doing on the 24th?
23rd Monday?
The 23rd.
Okay, what are we getting together for?
23rd Monday is good for me.
Well, if you want to do what I suggested, that would be my recommendation. Otherwise, we just wait until we have the joint meeting of the board and the committee.
I think it would be beneficial to have that meeting because I think it's in our best interest for us to have some sort of consensus going into that meeting. Otherwise, it's just going to be complete chaos. And it'll be that anyways, I'm assuming. But at least if we go in with some agenda that we want to push, I think we'd be in a better place. And that meeting hopefully could give us the ability to do that.
Okay.
My opinion.
You get one as the new person. That was it. You just used it.
I figure you can't reach me from here, so you can't kind of slap me on the back of my head.
So what are we talking about? 23rd. I don't have anything.
Or the 26th. The 26th would be better, and the reason I say that...
26th is not better.
The reason I say that is only because of the fact that next week... Oh, that's okay. The 23rd.
We already have the material.
I had something going down at West Valley College.
On the
23rd?
26th. Let's just do the 23rd if we can just
see. Dark
we already have the
Santa
presentation.
What were you thinking? You don't think you have time by the 23rd? Is that what you're thinking about?
I, you know what? I have all that. I have it all. I already have the information. Okay. I can knock it out this week and
fine.
Just have it prepped and ready to go.
Send me an email. 23rd at 1900 at 7 o'clock. Killing me, Schmalz.
Right, and I think that meeting, I guess, get the review of it, but let's look at, like, we're only looking at short term here. We're looking at something, how to get it open as soon as possible, and then how to operate it for a year or two, or solution.
But you also want...
How did I let you resign? Why didn't I resign?
You also want to have just a review of where we've been with all the different options and considerations. Because I know some of the things we've discussed, like I may have had a conversation with you on something that didn't make its way.
You can start with the Lions
okay.
plan, sure.
Let's move forward, guys. We're just killing nightlight.
Yeah.
Item 3. Do we have a discussion to have about that? I thought we already did that.
Well, I'm bringing it back to the whenever we have the joint meeting of the board. The question was asked of me this afternoon as to whether or not the district can fund seed money for a foundation. And from what I have
that would be item 4. But we can
I'm
go
sorry.
Right directly to that
oh,
because.
I'm
sorry. No, let's go to item 4. I'm good with that.
With respect to the foundation, that they can provide seed money to get it up and running, but at some point in time, that foundation does need to become an independent function, hands off of the district, so to speak. You can certainly
with an
have
independent board.
You can certainly have a member of the board sit on the foundation, but they really don't drive. They're not really the driving force, and I'm sure Chris is familiar, and I know that you are as well, and a certain other board member in the back of the room is familiar with foundations, and so.
So what do we? So that's on the. It's on the agenda, and it's been discussed.
I'm just bringing it back to let you know that we are that we're keeping on the agenda because we don't want to lose sight of it.
Okay. So what I would like to have is somebody, not necessarily staff, mind you. I'm not throwing this back at you, but somebody who understands this in a way that other than that I handle our board, but. That understands this in a public arena. I understand it in a private arena. Give us a presentation on how this would look, what the picture would be like, and what the benefit to us to the community is in establishing a foundation.
Maybe that woman that's a lawyer here that's doing that with it.
I was going to say, I'm happy to do it, and I could even bring a representative from a current park district that has a foundation.
There you go.
I'm
that's what I'm looking
that.
For. Yeah. I'm looking for somebody to clear it in my head because I'm stuck in my foundation. I get how that works.
Mm-hmm.
That works by me not telling my board anything I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But other than that, no, that's not true. They have me handcuffed. But
So I want to embellish that further. So I want to work with Chris on that establishment, and then I'm probably going to pull in some people from the outside.
That's great. But first, let's get
a presentation
to this committee
right.
So we understand. So I understand it completely, and then I will definitely understand that you want to be a driving force in that, and I have no problem with that.
On the 23rd as well.
It's up to
but
me.
We don't need board approval on this, do we?
Not
to
have
bring
discussion.
Discussion. You,
all right.
Could you pull that off by the 23rd, Chris? Or do you want to hold it off for the regular joint
I could. Meeting? I can pull off something by the 23rd. I can't promise that the guest I have in mind that would be the ideal candidate can make it on the 23rd.
Why don't
I don't
we get,
know,
why don't
but
we,
I'm happy to put something together that would at least...
You've done been doing this long enough that a presentation for you is probably second nature. Why don't we...
Yes.
If you can bring somebody else in, that's great. If not, at least clear up for...
Highlights?
Maybe yeah. Am I the only dumb one that doesn't get it? But
no, it's fairly complicated.
I just want to understand the goal, objectives, and the how that is going to, what the benefits of the establishment of that is going to be. And then I think it'd be a perfect time, once we have an understanding of it, to maybe, if that person can't make it on the 23rd, that we handle it at a future joint meeting. But I don't want to throw too much at that first joint meeting. If we're going to have Catherine there, we're going to talk about funding, and we're going to try to get the board to move forward on how soon we can get something done over there.
Mm-hmm.
She'd like to talk about that.
Okay.
So, that would be outstanding.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next, schedule next community center committee meeting. I think we've done that.
No, we're back to programming item three. I'm sorry.
Oh, do we have something for item three?
Well, I know that some.
Oh, did people come from the public come to speak to item three?
Programming.
Item three would be programming. You don't have to hold up your hand. You can just come forward.
All right. Okay.
My bad. I thought once we covered water aerobics, we covered.
That seems like the community center could move forward for programs that would be outside on the grass. You could do dog obedience outside right away. Tai Chi outside right away. Why not kind of add these type of things to at least get the community thinking that we're doing something here in the community center, even though they can't go inside, they could use the outside grass area.
Especially this time of year. I think that's a great idea.
Do you have teachers in mind?
I do.
Not the dog obedience, but I could come up with Tai Chi.
Yeah. We actually have a lot of people who have reached out to us to do programming already.
Follow up on some of that.
Well, the difficulty I have is having staff there to register people, to open doors, to let instructors know, to make sure everything's happening. I don't have staff. It's very disruptive already, 2 days a week to even do an aquatics class, because we have to leave our office, we have to go down to the building, open it all up, take registrants, be there for an hour, leave that building. I mean, the recreation part of this is not our only job. And so unless we're there at that building, and that's the point, is that we need staff there. We need somebody there to do this.
But if these are outdoor activities, it probably will lessen that a little bit, but I completely understand
aquatics
what you're saying.
Aquatics is outdoors.
What dog?
Well, I mean, people have to be there to register.
I always get
time involved.
I always get Tai Chi and Chai Tea mixed up. Which one do I get from Starbucks? Chai Tea, right? Okay.
I also think that without some of this cosmetic work done, that we'd be shooting ourselves in the foot if we started bringing people into a low-budget, shabby facility that they're not going to want to come back to. So I would be scared to move forward without doing at least the minimal amount of improvements, or they're not going to come back.
Like the sidewalk?
Yeah.
Okay. I think there's a consensus there. but taking into consideration comments from the public, I just think that the consensus is we got to stop just having meetings and not having decisions being made, because we're really, I feel a little stagnant. I feel like the moss is growing over the top.
I have a comment.
Yes.
Hi. I was wondering, you're talking about having staff, if it is an outdoor thing, why do you have to have somebody there to register? Why couldn't that be the person that's involved with the course? Why couldn't there be like somebody teaching it and then the person who assists them in taking the names and the registry for it?
I'm not sure that I understand the full scope of what you're saying, but some of the suggestions today were saying, let's keep drop-ins open to make this more accessible. I can't keep drop-ins open without having somebody there to register, collect the monies,
you're talking the water aerobics and
not just water aerobics, for any type of class. There's a registration form. There's a waiver. There's paperwork to be filled out. There's processing to go with that. It goes into our system. We track it. It's
So you need an unpaid assistant.
So the volunteer program, I would love to get started. I am waiting for approval from the Department of Justice for us to become an agency that can clear our volunteers. At this point in time, I can't clear our volunteers until they approve us as an agency. That's been going on since February.
Fingerprinting.
We have to do our own. Yeah.
So I have a question. If I walk past Cornell, this is a question for staff. If I walk past Cornell Park and I see 12 dogs lined up on leash walking in circles and stopping and starting. Are we going to go kick them out of there because they haven't signed up to have that obedience class at Cornell Park? Why?
It's a public park. But we have, you guys adopted rules, the board adopted rules, that any organized sport or organization has to reserve and has to go through us for approval. Same as tournaments, organized sports.
Okay, so then let me say this. So
have you seen that?
No. I don't get past Marina Road. Very often. I don't have time. Except to go to your house. So Jane Doe walks in here and walks up to Willow and says, hey, we've got a bunch of people that go down to the park at night and walk their dogs, and we have issues with them, and we have a new person that's doing this, and they used to train Dobermans, so they understand how this works. And can I do that in your park? And I'm not a business and I'm not an organization, but I'm a group of people that want to perform this activity. Will you give me permission to train dogs on a volunteer basis to people that want to voluntarily participate in it in the park?
Probably not at Cornell Park. If it's going to take place with dog obedience, using that as an example, it would be in a confined space.
Why?
It would be on a tennis court or on some kind of a confined space. Because if there are dogs that are going through training, you don't want to have dogs running away. You don't want to have dogs getting off leash
okay,
that are going to be
So we don't regulate that now, but if somebody said they wanted to do it, then we would start regulating it. That to me makes no sense whatsoever. Anybody that wants to can go to Cornell Park with their dog, and there's nothing we can do about it because we allow dogs in Cornell Park, correct?
On leash.
Okay, well, you train your dog on, I mean, I did take my dog off.
Yeah, you didn't train.
But
this is, I think, a larger conversation about the policies about hiring facility rentals that isn't on point of this.
Well, but the only reason I'm saying that, well.
It needs to be discussed. I don't know that the time is right now. I think setting up.
But if we're trying to get an idea of what kind of things we can have there, why are we in such a constricted atmosphere that we're not allowing anything to happen?
I would love to have dog obedience classes. I think it would be awesome. All right. So I would recommend if we had dog obedience classes, I've had them on my list from day one. If we were to have a dog obedience class, using that as an example, I would have no problem with someone coming in and signing up as an instructor, and we put them in the rec program, and we offer the classes. And they're part of our rec program and educational program, and they can do that. And they do it on a tennis court, mm-hmm. or they do it on a some form of an enclosed site, whether it's a community center and the gates closed at an after hours or an early morning environment or something like that. So that if the dog, because you do train dogs, you have them stay, and you put the leash down, and you walk away from them, and they're going to run. If they run and see another dog, you know, across the street, they can get killed. So that's why you want them in a confined space.
What does the staff need to manage the program?
I would say that it would be up to the instructor to tell you what you need to run a dog obedience class.
What is the staff?
So just to take you through what we do as staff on the programs we've done, we have to take the qualifications of our instructors, depending on what the class is. Whether, you know, do they have the qualifications? In the past, they provided us with the scope of what they wanted to do for the class. We review that, figure out where we have time, if we have interest in it. We've only done two classes that have had interest, that have made it through to get to the programming. The one was the Country Western, which was great. People came to that. Lots of people came to that. We did it as a drop-in, but we had staff at that facility, and we did it monthly, and we were able to continue doing that because we had people there to check them in, to register them, to ensure the proper paperwork was there.
So that sounds good. What if the Friends of the Community Center just handled programming?
I don't have a problem with volunteers doing that at all, but
we'll have to make a criteria how it works.
We can't start taking volunteers until we can fingerprint them.
Yes.
Okay. There is a dog obedience program, I believe, in Dublin that does work out in a park. If you'd like me to investigate, I would see how they handle that situation. And as far as Cornell Park, there is a tennis court that you could kind of fence in if they wanted to do any off-leash work. Just for a short period of time, but I'll be happy to investigate how.
I think we just got hung up on dog park dog obedience because it happened to be one that was brought up and it was something I know a little bit about, so we were discussing it as that. But here's, thank you. Not yet. We are, that it would be cart in front of the horse. But here's my frustration. We're talking about trying to get programming, and every time we mention something, there's a reason why it can't be done. So what are we accomplishing? Why is there, I mean, this committee is throwing out ideas, and all I'm hearing from staff is, it can't be done. We can't do this because of this, we can't do that because of that, we can't do that because of that. So what can we do?
We have to be able to have a procedure that the instructors would have to follow, that they come in.
They're volunteers. All they're doing is using space. Why do they have to organize it through us? Why can't they just use the park? It's their park. They paid for it with their money.
If somebody wants to go in and do that, if they want to go in and go out to the park and three or four people want to get together on a Saturday afternoon and play tennis and someone wants to come and teach them how to play tennis, that's fine.
What about
if they want to teach tennis lessons and they want to charge money?
No, I'm not talking about that.
Okay, but if that's what that poses the problem.
But we're talking about volunteer. We talked I'm going to say it wrong. Tai Chi. I think it would be awesome to drive at 7 o'clock in the morning and seeing a bunch of people going like this in the park.
But it's different, like you said, if you're charging for it.
Well, we're not talking about charging for it. We're just saying, hey,
they don't have to ask. Just go have a
community program where somebody's teaching Tai Chi to.
They do have camps. There's somebody who goes to Cornell and does camp workouts with some women there in the mornings. Those things do happen.
Okay.
We're talking about town sanctioned.
I get that. Okay. I think that's probably where the difference is.
There are every community, and Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't say every community, but many, many communities, many, many rec programs, many, many offerings are free of charge. Mm-hmm. Not everything is a fee-based program. If you have a volunteer that says, hey, I want to teach a Tai Chi class out at Cornell Park on, you know, Tuesday, Thursday mornings at 9 o'clock free of charge. And, you know, they apply to do that. And, you know, hey, let's let them go out there and do it.
Okay.
And
so that's a better example than obedience.
And we can advertise it then.
You got other issues involved.
And then we can advertise it then in our rec brochure as a free class, as a free option. We would love to do that.
Okay.
We don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
It's the guy that's going out on a Tuesday, Thursday morning, and he's getting $5 from everybody, and he's using our park free of charge to make money. That's a problem. I know you've had some issues with that.
I get that. So then
we need to facilitate the hub.
Yeah, it would be great. There's people that are passionate about different things. And we all have different passions. And if we can somehow identify or make available the facilities that we have in Discovery Bay for the people with passions, and the people with passions do it for nothing because it's their passion. And maybe this is all going back to what you're going to tell us about with the foundation and Friends of the Thing or whatever. And maybe that's the instrument that we need to be able to rally around these people with passions and start programs developing that don't impact and take huge amount of time from our staff and all kinds of, you know, you throw in the Justice Department, all kinds of different, you know, requirements. I get it. It's reality. I know it's real. You know, and find these people that are passionate. We have, you know, we're still running probably about 75, probably closer to 70, 30 working to retired in Discovery Bay as a demographic. And so there's people that are passionate about retirement, about
art classes,
you know, whatever, that can do this. And we just need to identify those people and get them to come start doing it at the Discovery, at the community center, based on some modifications to the building to make it attractive, to get people to realize it's not the same old building, and then sustainability.
Yes.
So I apologize but it's frustrating for me to keep hearing, like, we can't do this because of that, we can't do this because of that.
Okay.
It was a bad example. Dog obedience was a bad example.
Tai
Chi would have been a better example.
It's also important to note that volunteers aren't free, and free programs aren't free. And somebody needs to monitor the volunteers, and there needs to be a process to train them, child abuse prevention training, the fingerprint costs. If you go through DOJ and FBI is running about $125 to $130 per person, somebody's paying for that. What happens that morning when they don't show up for the class and all those people are calling the center?
Well, that's,
so free is not free when it's volunteers, well, is what I'm saying. So there has to be a larger conversation that staff needs to develop in order to set even free programs into place. And I think we're paying for the insurance for those. That money comes from somewhere. So unless we look at a model of having paid staff and fee for service programs that are going to generate revenue to pay for those staff, then we're setting up a model that's going to fail. Ideally, sure, every organization would love to run with free labor and free programs, and wouldn't that be fantastic? It's just not realistic because they're not free.
She's totally right, because I work in a library. People always say, oh, just let volunteers do everything. It doesn't happen. You can't.
No, and unless we generate fees from service, we can't pay for the staff that's necessary to run the program.
Unless they don't run the program through the town, whether they just go out there and decide, hey, we're gonna have a class on sit-ups, and we're gonna go out here 3 days in the morning, and we're gonna do sit-ups for an hour. That is across the town.
We're not going to advertise that in our record.
No, we're not. That's up to the person that's got the passion for it. But they're still using the facility, right?
Well, that happens now. I mean,
good.
People come and play tennis and teach each other, and you know, go to the
exercise group.
Okay. Any other?
I just thought it seemed like a master program. Let's rattle off all these great programs every meeting, and I don't see us capturing them.
Because we still need a building.
Let's get our buildings fixed.
Do we?
I just want to say, on that proposal, the ones that are listed on that page are ones that are currently in the contact list that we have contact for. So that's not a full list of everything we've helped for.
No, we
but those are ones that we've contacted. People want to do it, whether it's volunteer or it's an organization.
All right.
Those classes can be in the works right away.
Okay.
And it's minimal, but it's something to start with.
Okay. That's right. That's all.
I'm sorry. All right. Thank you.
Did we decide on a date?
Yes.
Okay. 23rd. Correct?
Yep.
You have enough agenda items?
It's going to basically be that one, just a review of all of our options and the things we've considered, and if something else pops up between now and then,
anybody have any future agenda?
I've got 10 of them, yeah.
What's that?
I've got quite a few.
Then why don't you go ahead and email them a list of them?
No, I'll have the conversation now because this is my meeting. The website, we need to have a community center a website. The town's website's great, but I think we need to have a community center dedicated website. And I've asked staff to go, or asked somebody, and I have to buy it, but DiscoveryBayCommunityCenter.com was sitting out there available. Did we buy it yet?
Yes, we did, about 4 months ago.
Okay, perfect. And I know the software's sitting right there that we're paying $250 a month. I know it's got scheduling, and you get a list of programs, and you probably could even generate comments and feedback on it. But I'd like to, for this committee to understand that software a little better, what the potential use is for at some point for a future meeting. The third thing is I do want signage. Besides the monument sign that we talked about in front of the property at our board meeting, I do want a large banners at the entrances saying a pool open, something that can, you know, a 4 foot or an 8 foot banner, something that says Discover Bay Community Center coming soon, or something, you know, but or the website would be something, but we need to put some large signage on the front of that building now.
There is a banner.
I think all of that can be summarized as marketing, and that's kind of my question too. It's just a marketing strategy, I think, is really key.
Yeah, I'll be agenda item.
We, as with respect to the signage, we play a very thin line. We ride a very thin line with respect to violating the county sign ordinance by having those signs out there. They haven't said anything to us yet, but the bigger the signs get, bigger the banners get, I think that we might have some problem, but I think that the idea of marketing might dovetail into that quite well.
Yeah, that's probably a better agenda item, marketing.
And so let's talk about the website, because I'm sure we're going to have different opinions on that. I think that everything that happens in this town should be on the town website and be linked to the town website. And I think that when you go to the town website, you click on a link, it goes to So let's put that on the agenda for discussion.
Okay, that's three.
That website that we have right now could be pointing to that little link you showed us somewhere buried on that website right now. So I don't know how to do that, but somebody does.
Okay, that's three.
That's it. Kevin doesn't want any more meetings. So, and I was just wondering, you give us an update on the construction of the sidewalk at the next meeting.
Have we started that? You're talking about going to the tennis
gravel
court?
Area.
Yeah. Going towards the tennis court?
We got a big Oktoberfest coming. There's going to be people hanging out over there.
Perfect. Anything else?
You may want to consider getting the Discover domain name, discoverybaycommunitycenter.org, and decide which way you want to do a redirect, but it's best to capture it before someone else does and redirects something.
I thought they said they did.
They did .com, not .org.
And .net and .us.
.info.
Anything else?
About that.
Thank you very much.